This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed. Purify your wealth. Look around at where you live. Look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself. There's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed. Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Fiqh of Zakah, a group of episodes where we discussed all the elements of Zakah. We looked at the definition of Zakah, what types of wealth, who can give it and who can take it. With me, the person who's been expounding this information is Sheikh Muhammad Salah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you, Jamil.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh.
Wa jazakum.
Sheikh, in all these episodes that we've spoken about the fiqh of zakah, you've expounded upon all of them, you gave us the evidence for them. There's one type of zakah which we don't find mentioned in the Quran, but it's something that we know we all have to pay in a certain time of the year. I'm sure you know this is the Zakat al-Fitr.
Correct.
Sheikh, what's the hikmah behind this? And give us some explanation to this act of giving just before the Salat of Eid.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa la siyama al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. There are two types of zakah. Zakatul mal Zakatul Abdan. Zakah on wealth and position was discussed over 14 episodes. And there is Zakatul Abdan, or the bodily zakah, zakah on one's body. That is known as Zakatul Fitr. Even though its commandment or mandate was not mentioned in the Quran, but in the Sawun Sunnah, it is collected by Al-Bukhari or Muslim. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال عبد الله بن عمر may Allah be pleased with him and his father narrated that فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الفطر من رمضان صاع من تمر أو صاع من شعير على العبد والحر والذكر والأنثى والصغير والكبير من المسلمين. He said فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Does the Prophet ﷺ have this power to mandate and to make things mandatory? Yes, indeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this power, and he said, whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the obedience of the Messenger of Allah is from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran came as a whole, and the Sunnah explained in details what was in the Quran. Look at all the discussion with regards to the zakah rate and the different types and the different produce and the different livestock which is zakatable and all of that which we discuss in detail. There is no mention whatsoever for all of that in the Quran. So the Sunnah explained the mujmal, what was revealed in the Quran as a whole. It explained it in details. So this hadith says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordained زكاة الفطر or صدقة الفطر من رمضان in Ramadan to be given as صاعا من تمر. الصاع is equivalent to 4 mud. And if you remember before, we said the صاع approximately equals 2.4 kilogram of what? Of tamr, dates, or barley, or raisin, or wheat, or the average food of the locality where people rely on most or they need most. Can it be corn? Yes. عَلَى الْعَبْدِ وَالْحُرِّ. Whether the Muslim is a servant, is a slave, or a free man, male or a female, young or old, من المسلمين, as long as he's a Muslim. So this zakah covers every individual, every family member. When and how? Because when we spoke about zakatul mal, we said there is an isab.
Yeah.
So what is the case with regards to zakatul fitr? Because it covers a greater spectrum than zakatul mal.
So if I could stop you for a moment, I mean, you've said all of these categories, but all of them pay?
The person who is financially responsible for those who are under his guardianship is the one who pays instead of his ra'iyya. I'm a family father.
Okay.
I pay zakatul fitr on behalf of myself, my wife, and my children, and if I have a servant. So everybody who is my dependent financially, I'm supposed to pay zakatul fitr per each person, sa'a, 2.4 kilogram of whatever food we discussed.
Okay, now this sa'a, this value, what is the real value? I mean, you said 2.4 kilograms, okay, but in this date, you know, do we measure by that, or do we just take 2.4 kilograms, a bag of wheat, for example, a bag of rice, or
remember,
whatever?
It is not, if you have a family of six,
mm-hmm.
then it is six sa', six times 2.4.
So true.
Right? Yeah. And before we go into that, some people are asking, who's supposed to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Every person who possesses an isab? No, the nisab is different here. Who possesses enough food for himself and his family for today and tonight, for one day
mm-hmm.
and one night. So I have three meals, and I happen to have some extra food, few sa', few kilograms, then I have to give on behalf of each family member who's mm-hmm. under my guardianship, one sa' per each. What if I have, if we're a family of six,
mm-hmm.
and we have, mashallah, food in our pantry or the fridge is enough for today and tonight, but all what I have extra is just one sa'.
Mm-hmm.
So you give one sa' and you're exempt with regards to the rest of the responsibility on behalf of the rest of the family members.
So the value now, for example, the actual weight, sometimes in the Western countries, what we do is that we go to the supermarket and we can't get 2.4 kilograms, for example. We get a 5-pound bag and we go and give that bag out. And we can't find barley, but like you said, we can find rice and people accept it. So, like
exactly.
This,
whatever people are in need are in need for it most. So when you go to some people mm-hmm. Who do not, for instance, eat corn, and you give them corn, they don't want it. Give them what they need most,
mm-hmm.
what is common amongst them most. In some areas, raisin is extremely expensive.
Yeah.
So give corn, give wheat, give barley, give rice, okay, the average. And you give to those who do not have at all. And you assume that they're poor. You're going to tell me, well, what if we keep giving people and somebody collects for me 6 sa' and from somebody else 10 sa'? So that's equivalent to 24 kilograms of food. So he has food not just enough for today and tonight, for the next week or the next month. So this poor person who was eligible yesterday, now has many, he too has to give the sadaqatul fitr or zakatul fitr to others. You see, the best solidarity and cooperation in the community presented in the form of giving sadaqatul fitr or zakatul fitr.
Jazakallah khair.
The hikmah.
So true.
And the wisdom behind that is two things.
Mm-hmm.
Explained in the hadith which is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said, فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ زَكَاةَ الْفِطْرِ طُهْرَةً لِلصَّائِمْ. That is the first hikmah or wisdom. طُهْرَةً لِلصَّائِمْ. We've been fasting for a whole month. We suffered. We tasted the hunger and thirst for some time, right? But each and every day we were hungry. We knew that there is a time at sunset where we will have food and bread on the table. There are others, whether it's sunset or sunrise or tomorrow or next week, they do not expect food. So we should feel their need and rush to help. So it is a purification, tuhratan lis-sa'im, from what? Min al-laghwi wal-rafath. While we're fasting, we made some errors, vain talk, involved in mistakes or sins. So this sadaqah will purify the sins which were committed during our fasting. وَطُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ, that fulfills the second hikmah, which is as a mean of feeding the poor and the needy. أَغْنُوهُمْ فِي هَذَا الْيَوْمِ, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make them rich today, so they don't have to beg. They don't have to beg for food. They don't have to beg for anything to break their fast on. Show them you have really graduated from the school of fasting and you really felt the suffering of those who are in need. Whenever there is a commercial in the West about some poor countries, or you see mainly African people, the kids are only bones, you could see their ribs, they're very skinny, and you can see the skull. What happens? People suck on their lips and say, too bad, they're very poor. And many, or in most cases, that people will just flip the channel and soon they will forget. But the practical lesson and the practical mean of making you feel their suffering is through fasting. This is just one of the wisdom behind fasting, that you feel the suffering, the hunger and thirst of the poor and the needy.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Now we've gone through the Zakat al-Fitr, we've expanded upon this. One thing that we haven't touched upon is maybe the due time. Okay, now you've given some, you told us now that it purifies, so it's very similar to normal zakah. And of course, there's a time of giving, there's the whole of normal zakah. Is there a due time for this particular zakah, a specific due time?
Yes, it is due by the end of Ramadan. As the exact time, Imam Abu Hanifa wa Shafi'i in the old school believes that it should be due at dawn of the Eid day. So right after Ramadan is over, in the morning of the Eid. Then we have also Al-Imam Malik and the other opinion of Imam Shafi'i and others said that it's due at sunset of the last day of Ramadan. Well, what difference does it make? Well, it makes a difference for a family who are expecting. If somebody, his wife gives birth in the evening of Ramadan or past sunset, after Isha for instance, according to Imam Malik and others, then he doesn't have to pay zakah on the newborn because he was born after the due time. But according to Imam Abu Hanifa, as long as he's born before Fajr, you have to give Sadaqatul Fitri on his behalf, which is one sa'. Anyway, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu arda used to recommend to give Sadaqatul Fitri on behalf of the fetus in the womb of his mother. As long as you know that your wife is expecting, there is a son or a daughter of yours in her stomach, then it is recommended, not a must, to give Sadaqatul Fitri in order to bless them.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. With that, we're going to take a short break and return in a couple of minutes. Please do stay with us on the Fiqh of Zakah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cure your greed, purify your wealth.
Virtues of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is the best month of the entire year according to Islam. It has many virtues that Muslims should benefit from. Do not lose the chance of this blessed month and join Dr. Haytham Al-Haddad in his program, Virtues of Ramadan.
Ramadan is a very unique opportunity for all of us. It is a very unique occasion for all Muslims all over the world. We are going to discuss certain issues related to Qiyamul Layl and how to observe the night prayer. We are also going to speak about Zakah, inshallah. We are going to speak about Sadaqah.
Virtues of Ramadan, in Ramadan on Hoda TV.
Much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Fiqh of Zakah. Sheikh, just before the break, we were discussing the information that you gave us. We started going into about Zakat al-Fitr, this particular zakah, the special zakah that's given in a certain time of year.
The bodily zakah.
The bodily zakah, not the one on the wealth. Now, within your explanation, you told us about the time of giving this Zakat al-Fitr. Can Zakat al-Fitr, like you told us before about normal zakah, if we do some estimation and we can give it in advance, can this be given in advance?
The scholars have agreed, yes, you can pay Zakat al-Fitr in advance, but they differ with regards to how advance. For instance, Imam Abu Hanifa says you can even pay it before Ramadan begins. Imam al-Shafi'i says from the first day of Ramadan you can pay Zakat al-Fitr. While Imam Malik or Ahmad said you can pay it in advance a day or two before Eid. They have something in common, which is the purpose of paying Zakat al-Fitr in advance is to have a chance to distribute it among the poor in order to satisfy their needs so that when it comes to the Eid day, everybody is happy, everybody is cool, everybody have enough food and provision for the Eid day and for the next few days as well. Most important thing, so whether you choose Abu Hanifa's opinion and pay it before Ramadan or Shafi'i in the beginning of Ramadan or Malik and Ahmad and you pay it a couple of days, which is the best opinion, of course. You pay it just close to the Eid because that provides the maximum benefit a day or two before Ramadan. Whether you do this or that, it is okay. What's not okay is to postpone it. Because Sadaqatul Fitr, in case of Zakatul Mal, we said maybe you can take a few days, a couple of days, in order to distribute after it is due. But in case of Sadaqatul Fitr, it is late. Its latest time is Salatul Eid. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever pays it before the Eid prayer, this is Zakah, Sadaqah Wajibah. And whoever postpones it after the Eid prayer, then this is a voluntary charity and he has committed a major sin and he still has to pay it though.
SubhanAllah.
So many people, especially in the West, they do not realize, and this is something typical, it happens every year. They come on the Eid day and say, Sheikh, I want to give my fitrah, my sadaqatul fitr. We've been talking from the beginning of Ramadan. You must pay your zakatul fitr before the Eid prayer. So when you come right before the Imam says, Allahu Akbar, what are we going to do with it? Where can we find a faqir to say, please take the sadaqah from that person?
Jazakallah khair. Okay, now let's go back a bit, Sheikh. Explain to me again, briefly, the value that you have to, or possess, or the value you have to give as well when it comes to Zakat al-Fitr.
Al-Jumhur, again, are of the view that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specified certain categories or items, they have to be given as is. خُذِ الْحَبَّ مِنَ الْحَبِّ. Take the grains from the grains. Hadith Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Abbas, صَاعَ مِنْ تَمْرُ وَصَاعَ مِنْ شَعِيرُ, is pertaining a certain measure, can be converted into weight, of specific grains or food. Okay? Imam Abu Hanifa said, what if people do not want the rice? Then give them money. And he says, not only if, in certain cases, he said, in general, it is permissible to give the value. To simply be in the safe side and get out of this dispute, a few days before Ramadan ends, you can go to any organization or Islamic center, if you're living in the West, for instance, and say, here is the money, the value for my zakah. They buy the grains and the food, and they know hundreds of thousands of families who will be more than happy to take rice, or to take wheat, or to take food. So, alhamdulillah, if we can diffuse this problem and resolve this issue, then we must do that instead of falling into a dispute. I'm not going to give the zakah myself. I don't know poor people who are going to take a bag of rice or whatever. I know an organization would take the money from me and buy food for the needy ones, issue is solved.
And it's the same thing as when we spoke about the zakah. You're going to give it to them and your obligation is done, you're finished?
It's over. It is over. You're free from any obligation. Whether those guys are honest or not, alhamdulillah, I did my best based on my investigation and their, what we say, their reputation. They're known in the society. Those people are honest. This is it.
Okay, now, let's move on to the next part, which is the whom. Whom do they pay this zakat al-fitr?
Very simple. Hmm. Same eight categories which we discussed in the past with regards to zakat al-mal. Verse number 60 of Surah al-Tawbah. Innama al-sadaqatu lil-fuqara'i wal-masakin to the end.
So the same eight categories. And again, the preference, are there preferences in those?
Correct, exactly.
Jazak al-khair. Okay, now I've got a question now, which is out of zakat al-fitr. It goes back to zakat. It's a question that pops up now then, because it's a real issue, especially the days that we live nowadays, about partnerships, Sheikh. We have a situation where three, four people own a business together, say livestock, for example, and they own them together. How do we go about working out the zakah when it comes to partnerships?
If the share of each partner does not reach the nisab, then there is no zakah on any. Mm-hmm. Even if collectively, that adds up to make double the nisab. Because in this case, each person is responsible for his share. Me and you and a third or a fourth person went in a company. Or I bought some shares in a company. This company is very, very wealthy. Mm-hmm. Multi-million dollars. But my share is that much. Then I will be responsible for paying the zakah on my share. What if the company pays the zakah on whatever shares and my share exceeds or equals, attains the nisab and exceeds the nisab, and we all agreed that our accountant will calculate the zakah and distribute it, and I have nothing to do with it. If we all agree to that, as long as my share attains the nisab by itself or in addition to other investment or positions that I have, then this is permissible. But the trick is that if somebody's share does not attain the nisab and he doesn't have any other position or investment, then he does not owe any zakah.
Jazakallah khair. Now, as we're looking at zakah, of course, sadaqah is that which is voluntary and that which, of course, is obligated upon us. When we look at sadaqah and zakah, Sheikh, how does somebody actually give that? Because sometimes you see that people give it in public, you'll see their names on the boards and so forth. And some other people say, well, this is not allowed, we shouldn't show people when we're given a zakah or sadaqah. What's the ruling on this? Can you clarify this?
First of all, whatever we discuss, we've been discussing zakah, the mandatory charity. And its rate is very little. It doesn't mean this is the end of it. No, Allah the Almighty encourages us to do business with Him through giving in a charity. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ One single sadaqah earns the reward of 700 and even more. And Allah gives more and more to whomever He wants. Giving in a charity is like giving a goodly loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will accept it if it is from a lawful earning. Allah will foster it, will grow it until it becomes as big as the mountain of Uhud, as we discussed before. Here is a very important point, which is, shall I give it in public, openly, or it is better to conceal it? The Quran answers that. The Quran says, إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعَمَّا هِي. If you show your charity, it is good. It is excellent. But وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And if you conceal it and give it to those who are entitled for it, this is better for you. So the scholars concluded the following. Sometimes giving the zakah in public or the charity, showing your charity for a purpose, such as encouraging and motivating others to donate, is more recommended than if you give it in private.
SubhanAllah.
There is a fundraise and everybody is reluctant to donate or to give any charity. Somebody raised his hand and said, $10,000. What? So he encouraged others and he gets the reward, a similar reward of everyone who donates after him.
That's like Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr, everybody saw him giving so much. It pushed Umar to a point where he wanted to give so much.
Exactly. But if somebody is afraid that he wants to make sure that his sadaqah in other conditions is 100% accepted and sincere, then giving in private is the best. The Prophet ﷺ counted among the seven who will be sheltered under the shade of the throne of Allah on the Day of Judgment. وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُ.
Subhanallah.
So a man who gives in a charity in such a very concealed fashion that his left hand does not know how much did his right hand give in a charity.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Muhammad, for all the knowledge that you partake to us and all the explanation about this very important topic. Again, this series on zakah is a series to explain to you the importance, how to calculate it, and how to distribute it. Until next time, I leave with assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Give a little of yourself, cure your greed, purify your wealth. Look around at where you live, look at all the good you have to give. Give a little love yourself. There's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed.